And so, of course, the Twins cannot rally after that, and it's just 12-10. So I'm feeling great, but my heart sinks because they pan to a shot of the Twins bullpen, and the bullpen is empty, which means Alex Colomé is pitching the 10th with runner on base to start the inning.
This is Fried Chicken Dingers.
Seven hosts.
Seven teams.
All the baseball.
Welcome, everybody, to a new episode of Fried Chicken Dingers. We are in roughly week three of baseball, and the season is, it's underway for sure. So, yeah, we have a lot of exciting and some somber stuff for you. And yeah, so let's jump right in with our updated FCD standings.
Yeah, the standings have changed a lot since 2 weeks ago. Lots of moves, yes, but no surprises. Have. Starting us out in last place, seventh, the Detroit Tigers. I think it's safe to say things are back to normal in seventh place. The Tigers, let's see what happened since last time we recorded. They got swept by the Indians, and then they swept the Astros, thanks to Akil Baddoo. And then they got swept by the A's. And then they lost a series to the Pirates, and they're about to get swept by the Royals, unless they can pull off the win tonight. So yeah, their offense has gone quiet since that sweep of the Astros. Their pitching is... yeah, it's decent. You got some Matthew Boyd, Casey Mizer. They're doing their thing, but the offense isn't providing any support. And they sit at 7-15, last place in the AL Central. I think that's about it. Honestly, it's nothing real surprising there.
Yeah. Up next,
I am very grateful that they swept the Astros, though. I mean,
yeah, that's true. That
couldn't have come at a better time.
Yeah.
Up I next, don't know how they did. We have a team who's has a winning percentage lower than one of their players' batting average.
The Minnesota Twins are number six in the FCD standings, and their winning percentage that Barry was alluding to is .350, and Byron Buxton's batting average is somewhere in the ballpark of like 382. The Twins are playing bad baseball. There's no way to cut it. You know, bullpen is bad. Okay, it's shaky. It's not completely bad. It's shaky. Our offense has gone shaky. Ice cold. Our starting pitch, I mean, it just puts a lot of when the offense isn't giving you anything, it puts a lot of pressure on the pitchers, and then it's just, it's not great. It's not great, and it's kind of what happened to the Tigers. Like, if you don't get offense, there's only so much your pitchers can do.
Byron Buxton and Nelson Cruz have been insane, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like.
Yeah, as always.
The rest of the offense has been terrible.
And Donaldson. Donaldson's been really good. Terrible.
Donaldson, I guess.
Yeah. But I mean, pretty much we got nothing against Pittsburgh, our latest series. Which, come on, guys, it's Pittsburgh. Like, the Pittsburgh beat us in the series 2-1. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's not good.
Although in game one of the series, J.A. Happ pitched 7 2/3 no hit innings, and then that was a really good game for the Twins. We did not have Colin May get the save, and guess what happened? We won. Wow. And let's see. I think before the Pirates, yeah, we played the A's. I'll get to that in a second. But before that, we played the Mariners and the Red Sox and the Angels. And it was not good. It was not good. Yep. But in the Angels,
to be fair, it's kind of depressed.
Aside from the Pirates, you faced a lot of teams who were on really, really hot streaks.
Yeah, we did. We really did. And plus, like half our, we also had a COVID outbreak during our West Coast trip with Simmons and Thielbar getting Thielbar didn't have it, but he was in close proximity to Simmons, so he had to go on the COVID DL. And then one highlight in the Angels series is that Williams Astudillo pitched a 1-2-3 inning, and he's a position player, La Tortuga. And he's currently our best pitcher.
He's a position player of the thicker kind.
Yes. Yeah, he's been decent on the offensive side. Pretty good on the defensive side. So Astudillo's been a nice little piece. Arise has been pretty good. It's just, yeah, it's our pitching,
except
honestly.
Except for his
hair. Oh, man. So, I don't know. Do we want to talk about the Oakland Twins?
Yes, we want to talk about
them. Yeah, go for it.
Of course. Do we want to do it now, or do we want to push it after the standings?
Actually, we should push it, because we need, like, opinions from Pascal and David, so maybe we should push it.
Yeah.
Let's push
so,
it.
So, yeah,
highlight of the 2 weeks. We'll get to that after the standings.
Oh, highlight of the 2 weeks.
For sure.
Well, anyway.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, for the A's. For FCD.
Foreshadowing.
Like FCD as a whole, though.
Yes.
In fifth place of the FCD standings.
Ooh.
Tied for fourth, but it's fine. And then now it's the Yankees. And to be honest, I've been really happy with the last series in Cleveland. We definitely turned it around. We played the Braves in a 2-game set at Yankee Stadium, and still didn't look great. We lost 4-1 in the second game. Offense was super quiet, but really woke up in Cleveland. The Yankees had their first three home runs in a game as a team. In the second game of that series, they came back from behind down 3-0 after three first inning runs from the Indians and both of the first two games, and won each of those 6-3 and 5-3. And then the third game, Gerrit Cole outpitched Shane Bieber in an awesome matchup, but the Yankees won that one, which led them to 3 in a row, and then they lost last night 7-3, but still 3 out of 4 on the road against the Indians, a team we should beat. Offense looked much better, swinging the bat and just playing all around. And I'm excited going into Baltimore, because hopefully we'll just continue to improve. But definitely getting better. I think if I had to pick one big highlight, is the starting pitching around Gerrit Cole really stepped up in the first two games with Herman and Montgomery. They finally had great starts, both giving up about 3 runs and five or six innings pitched each, and it was just much better compared to 7 or 8 and 2 or 3 innings that we've been getting. So and the bullpen's still been the best in the MLB, so good highlights. Hopefully continue to improve.
Yeah, you're definitely on the verge of pushing that slump away for good.
Hopefully, yeah, hopefully. That's what we can hope for.
Indeed.
And tied for fourth with the Yankees is the Reds. So the Reds, they had a really hot start at the beginning, and then they had a really cold, very cold. They're cold right now. The pitching, I'd say the pitching is the main problem right now. The offense has been doing well. This season, they've gotten 117 runs, which is the second best in the MLB right now. So the offense is doing pretty good, but the pitching is not doing all that great and are letting up runs, which is causing us to lose games. I'm hoping that this series against the Dodgers will go well in our favor, like it did in the 4-game series against them in, what was it, 2019, where it was a 4-game series sweep. I'm hoping for a similar result. But on the upside, in a game, Votto got a triple play. He caught a line drive, tagged the runner trying to get back to first. Runner went home but didn't tag up. Votto was asked about that, and they said no, he didn't tag up, and he threw it to third and got the out, and it was an awesome play, but that's been about the only highlight of the Reds Ouch. So far. Jesse Yikes. Winker's been doing amazing, though. Which is good, because he's on my fantasy team.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, luckily for
Wait, Jacob.
Given your division, it's not, you know, it's not like all hope is lost by far.
No, but we went from first to last in our division very quick.
Mm. Darn.
Yeah. The Pirates are actually playing pretty good baseball right now.
They're playing 500. They're at 500.
Yeah. When is Hayes supposed to come back?
He was supposed to come back when they played Detroit, but then he re-aggravated his wrist.
Okay. Ooh, that's fun.
So that was fun. Yeah, especially since he's on my fantasy team. Love that. So yeah. Oh, man.
So wait, Jacob, are the Reds? What'd you say? Did they say that you're on a 7-game losing streak?
Yeah.
Oof.
That's painful.
Yikes. And there were some really close games in those 7, right?
Yeah. The games were 6-3, 5-4, 8-5, 14-11, 5-4, 2-0, 5-2.
Yikes. Yeah. That's terrible.
Yeah, unluckily for you, the Diamondbacks offense, you had a lot of really like back and forth games with them.
Doing insane.
And their offense just exploded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
Moving on up. Third place.
Dang it, it'd be such a smooth transition to go, speaking of offenses that exploded, and then go to Barry, but it's okay.
Yeah, we still have two other teams before that.
I know.
It just would have been to the smooth. Dodgers.
I know, it just would have been smooth.
Moving on up to the White Sox, 12-9 in third place of the standings. We've got a... How do we say this?
Noah didn't want to come because he had something and he never prioritizes us. So this is the recording he sent in because he couldn't make it.
All right, everyone. So last time we left the White Sox, we were 15th overall, 9th in the AL. Yermin was tearing it up and we were just coming off a Lance Lynn complete game shutout. Since then, we've moved up to 8th overall in the AL with a record of 12-9. In the AL, we're 5th. So, doing a lot better now. Pretty much like the day after we released the episode, or it might have been the night we released the episode. Carlos Rodon threw, as John Boy Media called it, a toe hitter. He threw a no-hitter, 8.1 innings perfect, with a hit-by-pitch in the 9th inning, by like an inch, which was the only base runner allowed. So... just an inch away from perfection. 7 strikeouts. It's the 20th no-hitter in Sox history. And yeah, it was great for Sox fans everywhere. Yermin, he's still tearing it up. He's slashing 414, 461, 657 with 4 home runs, 15 RBI. And he's had another 4-hit night since his first one. And actually had a burger named after him in Chicago, so he's still tearing it up. He's still doing it insanely good. And I hope he can keep it up still, because he's just been doing wonders, and he's really fun to watch. Nick Madrigal, Nicky 2 strikes. He's batting 421 on 0-2 counts. He had a walk-off hit with 2 strikes, 2 outs in the bottom of the 9th a couple nights ago against Texas. And he's pretty much unparalleled when it comes to batting with 2 strikes. Kopech the other night went 5 innings total, but 4 of those innings he had 10 strikeouts total. And that in that game, that was the game where we swept the Rangers. And so Kopech, with his second start of the season, first start was in the doubleheader, which we swept in Boston, but... promising start for the season for Kopech in his 2 starting appearances. Not a good sign from Lucas Giolito, who threw in Boston. 1 inning pitched, 8 hits, 8 runs, 2 walks, and the final score was 11-4 for Boston. Good news, not really good news, but interesting tidbit. Yermin Mercedes and Danny Mendick made their pitching debuts. Yermin allowing 3 hits and a run. Danny allowing 1 hit and 1 strikeout, which was pretty cool. Injury updates. Anderson Hamilton back, which has been really good for the lineup. Lynn should start again Friday on a four-game win streak, hoping to continue that into Detroit and hopefully win the Cleveland series as well.
Okay. Very nice. Moving on. Great insights, Noah.
Wow.
Let's move on to...
Very, very good. So in conclusion, the White Sox still suck. The A's!
Thanks! Boys, since our last recording, we lost one game, and that was last night.
Oh my gosh.
We moved from place in the FCD standings, last place in our division, to first place in our division, and second place in the FCD standings, one game behind the Dodgers.
And second in the MLB, right?
Yeah, the power rankings say second place. So,
no, but like record-wise.
It's a 13 jump, a spot jump.
Yeah, they're second in the...
Second best record.
And second best. Well, I don't know if that's so standard.
Oh, wait, no. Kansas City's better than Oakland.
What? Okay, no. Let's not ruin the moment here.
Okay.
Kansas City.
No. It's because they're facing
Kansas
the
City has a better record than the A's?
Yes.
Kansas City is one game off the MLB lead.
Oh, my word.
Like, you guys are only one game ahead of them.
My moment here. Forget Kansas City. Okay.
We went on a 13-game winning streak.
We don't want to ruin their moment. Okay, back to the A's, that 13-game win streak, that's 2 weeks straight of winning because they had an off day in that. That's insane.
Yeah.
It was a first time.
That must be nice, dang.
First time since Cleveland broke the AL winning game streak back in, what was it, 2017?
I think so, yes.
I think so, yeah. The longest one since then. Third longest in Oakland A history. It was a fantastic 2 weeks. I mean, to start the season... Oh, yeah, and we were the first team to start the season 0-6 and then win 11 straight. And we won two more after that. Except, yeah.
You beat some good teams in there.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah,
so
really
we
did.
We took the last two of a three-game series in Houston... Moved on to sweep the Diamondbacks in two, swept Detroit in four, swept the Twins in three, including that fantastic...
Okay, never mind, you didn't play anymore.
Shut up.
They did play.
And then we took two from the Orioles before losing the series finale last night.
They did play some good teams. Not the best, but good teams.
Not the best, but I think
they played the Twins with half their roster, yeah. Congratulations.
Well, but the Orioles haven't been horrible... Orioles haven't been horrible in the early going.
The Orioles have been surprising. I think their starters
The Diamondbacks have also been quite good of late.
Yeah.
David's just butthurt about the Twins.
Yeah.
No, we had a good team. We had a good team in Oakland.
And we'll get to that. And we'll get to that game. David's pain. But yeah, I mean, everything just clicked. Our offense, aside from a couple guys like Matt Chapman, Elvis Andrews, these guys are starting to hit. Matt Olson went on an absolute tear, especially against the Orioles and the Twins. I mean, everything clicked, and I think especially with our starters, they're starting to find their groove, starting to go deep in games. It's just, this is the type of baseball that I would have expected us to have played since the beginning of the season. And they definitely turned it around. And I mean, the win streak might be over, but I think we're back to a level of playing where we want to be, a level of confidence where we want to be. And I think from now we can start taking series and maintaining our lead at the top of the AL West, hopefully. But yeah, it's been a fantastic 2 weeks of Oakland A's baseball. I'm so happy.
That's awesome.
Hate the Padres.
Next up, Dodgers.
Next up, the Dodgers. Still in first overall.
I hate them so much. I hate stupid Machado, freaking Fernando Tatis Jr., who's as awesome as he is, also sucks. I hate Trent Grisham. And you know who the worst is? The worst is Jurickson Profar. He freaking, I hate his. He grinds.
Wait, why do you hate him?
He's so annoying. He's so annoying. And he sucks. He's a terrible baseball player. I mean, not really, but kind of. But he always comes in clutch against the Dodgers, and it always bothers me. And he does the stupidest thing, like swings at a pitch like that's already by him so that he can hit the catcher's glove so that he can take first. Freaking idiot. Padres suck. Our bullpen sucks. We blew a 6-run lead in like... We had a 6-run lead going into the 7th inning.
That was so funny.
And we lost the game.
That was really funny.
6 runs! 6 runs! Going Yikes. In...
Wait, but Barry...
6 runs!
But that's
15 it. Outs!
Profar, but that Profar incident was the only reason why you dislike him. Right? Mainly.
No. No, he also, like, just hits little bloop singles that annoy me, and he just... I find him enraging in general.
Tatis is the one who hit 5 home runs, though.
I know, but, like... Okay, the thing about Tatis, though, is he's actually insane. Like,
true.
You only hate him because he's, like, he's a beast. But he's, actually a really fun player and really exciting to watch. Mm-hmm. And if he was playing anybody other than the Dodgers, I would have been like, that is awesome. Yeah. And also, like, his
Especially
making
his
fun
taunt
of Bauer,
with Bauer,
that was hilarious.
Oh, the taunt yeah, was that awesome. Was, Both of them.
That was great.
Oh, that was
and
so
then,
good.
Did you see Bauer's Twitter war with him?
No, I did not.
So there's basically this clip where it kind of looks like Fernando or Tatis is like looking back at the catcher's sign, like subtly.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. Yeah.
And then Bauer tweets at him. What did he say? He said something along the lines, "Hey, next time you can just ask, buddy. I'll let you know.
Oh my gosh.
Or daddy will That's always awesome. Let you know," or something like that. and then Fernando Tatis sent tweeted back a picture of him holding a baby. And then with Bauer's face, like with his eye closed, photoshopped
nice.
Over the baby's face.
Nice.
And
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, those guys are doing a lot of good things for baseball.
Baseball,
for baseball.
Sure. And like, as awful as, you know, that series might have been for Barry, it's like the Dodgers-Padres series have been by far the most entertaining in baseball, so in the early going.
Oh, it's been insane.
And the Dodgers got him in the first one, and the Padres got him in the second, so it's been fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yet, despite all of Barry's anger against the Padres, you're still at the top of all the standings everywhere.
You are,
Barry.
You are indeed.
Yes.
Although
and Cody Bellinger has been injured, and I guess he was sent to the alternate site to start like ramping back up. So hopefully, we'll be getting him in the next week or two. And Betts has also kind of been in a little bit of a slump, so hopefully he starts heating up too. Man, Justin Turner is just insane.
Yeah, he's been good.
Like, I don't know what's gotten into him, because you know he's always been good, but he's never been like this. He's just it's amazing. So yeah, and our starting rotation has been just like lights out dominant. So we had our struggles, but it still looks good for Dodger baseball. So I'm excited to see what the rest of the season brings, except now we have a series with the Reds. So
bye bye first place in the MLB.
We're going to get swept.
It's going to be the Royals.
If we get swept and the Royals take over as the overall leader in Major League Baseball, I don't know what I'm going to jump on the Padres bandwagon.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
I'm joking, Paskey. I'm joking.
I wouldn't put it past
you. Honestly, I'd just become a Marlins fan. I'd become a Marlins fan.
Okay, I can live with that.
That would be good, yes.
David, other news?
So, yes, it was one of my favorite days in baseball this past couple weeks, Jackie Robinson Day.
For sure.
And, cool of course, day. In Jackie Robinson Day, we've talked about it before, everybody wears the number 42 to honor Jackie Robinson. Just a great day for baseball to remember just what Jackie Robinson did for the game and breaking the color barrier. Yeah, just a great, 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 great day all around.
Yeah. You know, it wasn't a great, great game for David.
Yeah. Yep. So, let me set the table.
Yeah, let's set the table.
So, let's see. Give me one moment to find the date of the game. I believe it was
honestly
Wednesday.
You should just read the box score.
No. I don't.
The box score says it all.
It was Wednesday the 21st.
Yes. Wednesday,
I mean,
April
until
21st.
The end.
Wednesday, April 21st. So, it was Kenta Maeda versus Frankie Montas. So, I mean, you know, the average person would probably expect a pretty good pitcher's duel, I would say. And that was not the case. So...
Well, it started off, like, what was it?
Roller coaster.
Was it the first pitch?
Donaldson homered.
Or no.
In the first.
It was second.
Yeah, Donaldson homered.
Second at bat.
Yeah. Second at bat of the game. Donaldson hits a, like, a 400-foot bomb. And we were all watching the game together online.
Yeah.
And that happened, and we were just like, oh, boy.
Yeah, so I was like, yeah, this is great. You know, Twins offense is waking up. Because the day before, we had a doubleheader with the A's, and we scored 0 runs in either game. So we went 14 innings without a single run. And so I was like, oh, great, we're scoring runs. We have Maeda on the mound. I mean, khalas, I'll just go to bed, and we'll just, you know, this game's over. And lo and behold, Maeda didn't pitch very well. Olsen.
Who would have thought?
Olsen homered.
Who would have thought?
Against Maeda to tie the game at 1-1, and then the A's went on to score 2 more runs in that inning.
Yes.
And then let's see, top of the third. So now it's 3-1. In the top of the third, Josh Donaldson singled, and Cruz homered for a 2-run shot to make it 4-3 Twins.
Another lead change.
Yeah, so now the Twins are in front. But wait, in the bottom half of the third, Olsen homered again off Maeda for a 2-run bomb. And then Seth Brown homered for a 2-run bomb.
Another lead change.
And then they had a...
There have been 4 lead changes by the third inning.
Yeah. And then,
no,
so,
so,
that,
so,
then,
no. So Olsen homered to make it 5-7, and then Brown extended that lead.
Right.
To 7-4.
No, no, no. Olsen homered to make it 5-4.
Yeah, which was another
then,
lead change.
Yeah, Brown extended the lead
yeah.
to 7-4.
And so then it was 7-4, and I was like, oh, brother, now the game's over. The Twins can't score runs. But then, of course, Cruz comes up in the fifth, and, I mean, he does what he does best and hit a home run.
He just launched one.
Yeah.
Ball.
Yeah. And so, let's see. Yeah.
Cruz is also injured for this game, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah,
he was nowhere near full health, full physical fitness.
So he hits 2 balls over 400 feet, and then practically walks around the bases.
Yeah,
as he's
he couldn't run. That was so funny.
Yeah, and keep in mind, throughout all of this, the A's are going for their 11th straight win. They're going for the sweep, and the whole time Barry is just spamming the chat with. What was it? It was like, it ends
basically,
at 10.
Hashtag.
We're going to 11.
It
ends at 10. We're going to 11 the whole time.
I'm going to 11.
Yeah.
It's really annoying, but not as annoying given what happened at the end. But
we'll get to that.
So eventually the Twins tied the game 7-7.
They tied it in the fifth,
yeah. And then they continued to score in the next inning, I believe. Yeah, in the sixth inning. Let's see, we had a single, another single, and eventually the Twins got a 10-7 lead, and I was like, oh, this is great, you know, it's the It's the sixth inning. We have a pretty good bullpen. We should be able to shut it down. And once again, that just was not the case. Lowry doubled in the sixth inning.
To make it
10-9. And actually, it stayed at 10-9 for a long time.
Yeah,
until,
so
it stayed until like
we brought in a really solid reliever. What was it, Rogers?
Yeah, so we had Hanser Robles, who's been really, really good for us early on this year, and then Taylor Rogers, who was rolling. And then comes the bottom of the ninth. And who do we bring in? Well, why not? Alex Colome, the guy who's blown three saves for us already this season. Let's bring him in again. Mm. In a game where runs don't cease to score. And and he got the save. No, of course he didn't get the save, yeah. So he walked a bunch of guys. Bad things happened. Eventually Matt Chapman hit a sack fly, and the A's tied the game.
Actually, he hit Ramon Laureano, and Laureano would end up being the tying run.
Yeah, like I said, bad things happened. I just...
I think there was one out in the ninth when Chapman hit that sacrifice ball, and we freaked out. We were like, oh my gosh, it happened.
Yeah.
It actually happened. David was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, so Chapman hit it.
It happened, and the rest of us were very excited.
Chapman hit a deep drive in the left center field gap, and... The winning run was at second base.
It should be noted that we were what time was it at this
point? At this point, it had already been like 3.5
3
hours.
3 a.m.
The game had already been going for like 3.5
Was it 1 a.m.?
It was like 2 a.m.
No, it was like 2:30.
Yeah, so it was very late.
Yeah.
It was very
So Chapman
late.
Launches so. This ball to left center, and I'm like, oh, that's ball game. And then out of nowhere, Byron Buxton makes the greatest catch. Oh my gosh, it was so good. Diving catch to save the game. Of course, the A's tied the game on the sack fly, but I mean, what a play.
No.
That
was in like the sixth.
Oh, was it?
Sixth or seventh. Yeah. So what happened was, at this point, you had taken the lead, David, I think. This is before. Like this was like the final
before
score
Chapman
up until the ninth, so
the
it was like line. What was it?
10-9,
or it was even before that.
Yeah.
But Matt Olson, who had already hit two home runs, he came up to bat
he
launched one.
That was
right
when it was
9-8.
That was when it was 9-8.
9-8. Okay, so he launches one with two runners on base into the gap in what was it? Left center, I think.
Yep, left.
And
center.
That's when Buxton made the incredible catch, just speeding in out of nowhere.
Yeah, it was in the sixth.
And it definitely saved the game at that point. Yeah.
Oh, you're right. It was 10-9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If that hadn't happened, the A's would have taken the lead, and
oh,
who knows
sure.
what would have happened after that. But that allowed the Twins to keep the lead going into the ninth. And then the what happened in the ninth, Matt Chapman hit a sacrifice fly to let Ramon Laureano come in and tie it. But then after that, I think we grounded out or something. So then we head into the extra innings with the extra inning rule.
I hate the extra inning rule so much.
Yeah,
we haven't scored a single run with Manfred's stupid extra inning rule. And so I'm like, oh, crap, that's ball game. Because we just simply can't score. But then somehow by some miracle...
Says the man who's put up 10 runs in the game.
Yeah, but we just can't score an extra
innings. I'm joking. Well, no. So an important fact is the extra inning rule has a man starting on second base.
Yeah.
And I forget who would have been said standing on second base.
Oh, yeah. So
but
it would have been Josh Donaldson at second base.
No, you're right. It would have been Josh Donaldson.
Okay.
But...
yeah, but... Because
the
legend,
manager made
the
most
man,
fleet of
the
foot.
Myth, the legend comes in.
Well, I don't even want to say his name.
The Minnesota Twins.
Somebody else introduce him. I don't want to say his name.
Caleb, you do it.
The Minnesota Twins.
Or
the Minnesota Twins.
You do it then.
Brought in I don't even know who his first name is. Blankenhorn.
I do. Travis.
The Minnesota Travis, Twins Travis. Brought in
Travis.
They're like
Travis
baseball player who had just been called up. Travis Blankenhorn. They put him in at second base. Moved the second baseman Arise to third, and they stick him on second base as a pinch runner.
Yeah. So he starts on second base.
Instead of bringer of rain, Josh Donaldson.
Yeah. All right. So at this point, I was like, okay, well, Donaldson's out of the game. That kind of sucks. But at least we have speed on second. And it wouldn't have mattered because my guy, Byron Buxton, hit an absolute tank to left. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I mean,
it was.
That thing was gone before he hit the ball. So it was 12-10 Minnesota. And then
keep in mind that Buxton hit that off of one of our best relievers, Lou Trevino, who had lights out for the past week, and all of a sudden it was just 2-run bomb in extra innings, and now we're behind again.
Yeah, and so of course the Twins cannot rally after that, and it's just 12-10. So I'm feeling great, but my heart sinks because they pan to a shot of the Twins bullpen. And the bullpen is empty, which means Alex Colome is pitching the 10th with runner on base to start the inning. We had other guys to put in, but no, we couldn't. So
Alex allow Colome me to take you the through bump. The bottom of the 10th inning. Of what is now an over 4-hour game. Alex Colome back on the mound. We have a runner on second, as is the extra innings rule. And I am pretty sure, I don't remember 100%, I'm pretty sure the first two batters grounded out.
Or something. So there was Piscotty flew out to center and Murphy struck out.
Yeah, so first two outs. Mm-hmm. Everything's looking good. It looks like the Twins are going to get their win. Colome's going to get... This is the second save opportunity of the game, by the way.
Yes, yes.
Yes. And then we start getting walks.
Then it's... Yeah, so Seth Brown comes up to bat, and I think he worked the count full. I think it was a long at bat, but eventually he got walked.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then...
And then did they put... they put Tony Kemp in to run for him, right?
Yeah. Yes. So we put in Tony Kemp, and then Andres almost struck out, and he got the walk. And at this point, bases are loaded, two outs. All you need is a play anywhere or a strikeout, that just one out for Alex Colome.
No.
And up steps the top of our lineup, Mark Canna.
Then there was one down.
What?
No, there were two outs.
Yeah. No, there were two down, I'm pretty sure.
Wait, there were two outs here?
Yeah, the first two batters of the inning got out.
Oh, never mind. I was thinking of them, sorry.
Yeah, which made it even better.
Any base ends it.
Mark Canna, top of the lineup. We have some hope, but I'm pretty much like, oh, that's it. We ended at 10. That's a good win streak. We still took the series. Sure, let's just finish it so I can go to bed. Mark Canna hits a routine grounder to second base, where lo and behold, where was once Luis Reyes, stands Travis Blankenhorn, who bobbles the ball. All the runners are safe.
You can see his terrified face as the ball approaches
him. He knew it was so bad.
He didn't even
one
bobble.
Run
he
scores. It's
over.
A 12-11 ball game. Bases are still loaded. And there's still one out. So you think, okay.
Two outs.
That's, rookie guy. Maybe, there's an error. Let's just finish it now, It's still any base, any play. And up steps.
Yep.
Who was it? Now I can't remember. Ramon Laureano.
Ramon.
Who is known
Ramon
for
Ramon Laureano had gone 0-5 in the game.
Yep.
Had not reached base once that night, steps up to the dish.
Steps up.
And goes down 0-2, like, in the first two pitches. Like, fouls two balls off or something.
Yep. But then he works it
and
back.
And I thought,
Then he worked it back.
The A's were screwed, but yeah.
I think he worked it to a full count, didn't he?
I think it was one and two.
Yeah.
1-2. All right, never mind. He worked it to one and two. He didn't strike out. That's the important thing. Well, and, you know, all we need is a base hit. All the Twins need is a simple out. Ramon Laureano sees a ball that's hittable. He's on two strikes. He knows he has to swing. Swings. Hits. The ball. Routine grounder to third base. Luis Arraez, who was on second and is now at third because of the whole pinch run situation, substitution, fields the ball cleanly. All the A's runners have stopped running at this point because it's a routine throw to third. Arraez throws, the announcers are like, and that's it, the runners have stopped, and the ball sails.
You just see the camera pan over and you're like, wait a second. The first baseman is not like preparing to catch this ball, like right at
his
chest.
The ball sailed over his head, slammed into the wall.
Over his head.
And everybody at that point, the Twins knew, the A's knew, two runs came in to score. Tony Kemp, Elvis Andrus, and the A's win 13-12. Bottom of the 10th, three runs scored and not a single hit. It was all errors. Alex Colomé blew his second save of the game. And life was good.
Except for David.
So understand, as we were watching this, and it was like, what, 2:30, 3:30 in the morning, and Caleb and Barry are going crazy, just screaming, yelling. David and I are silent, just staring at the screen, for very different reasons, though. I was staring in disbelief that we actually had an 11-game winning streak, and David was wondering how nice the Royals fan base is. So yeah, it was the best baseball game I've ever watched, and I haven't watched as many as these guys here, but a lot of them said the same thing, except for David.
Yeah, terrible for David. Amazing game otherwise.
Yeah, so exciting. Yeah. Home runs, amazing defensive plays, hilarious errors,
everything you could want.
Extra innings. Yep. Drama. Yeah. I mean, it had everything. Everything.
Yeah. And then after the game, the Twins sent Blankenhorn right back down to the minor leagues. They were like, we've seen enough.
You'll probably never make it back.
We've seen enough.
So that was my highlight of the week. It was an amazing game. Definitely worth the loss of sleep.
I feel like, I mean, the thing that's crazy is that Noah got positive points from Colomé that day.
Because of the errors.
I hate that so much. Like, he always blows games for us, but they're never earned runs. Like, I mean, to be fair, you know, those plays should be made. Definitely. We should have won that game. And, you know, it would help if you didn't walk the bases loaded every time. But, I mean, you need to make that play. And, I mean, yeah, bad things happen when you make errors. And, obviously, the Twins lost the game because of two pivotal errors.
Two errors, yes.
Another news. Shohei Ohtani has been absolutely on fire. Both throwing the ball and the ball.
Yeah.
He's insane. He's on my fantasy team. He was a great pickup.
Yeah, he's finally... You know, that MVP MVP prediction some of you guys had isn't looking too bad early on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
I mean, Mike Trout's still going to win it, but...
Yeah, probably.
I don't think he'll win MVP, but
Speaking of awards, though, we got some pitchers who are on fire. Corbin Burnes, what was it? David, I think you know the stat.
Oh, yeah. It was, he was the first pitcher in Major League history to record 40 strikeouts before a single walk.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he was the clear favorite, like, in the first few games to win the Cy Young, but then Jacob deGrom
It's Jacob DeGrom.
Has been absolutely on fire.
He had a complete game shutout. 9 innings, 15 strikeouts, his new career high. Interesting news. I was keeping up with that game for a bit because DeGrom is on my fantasy team, and the Mets are notorious for not giving him the runs he needs, even when he's dealing, as always. He actually got the first RBI of that game. So if that was the only run of that game, he would have literally given himself the win.
He's hitting over 500 as a hitter.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
He
must have just gone into the off season practicing because he was just like, yeah, I'm gonna have to do this myself.
He also has the lowest ERA and most strikeouts of any pitcher, any Mets pitcher in Mets history. He passed Tom Seaver in all-time Mets ERA, career ERA, so he now leads the Mets in that, all with this game. And then he also tied, he's one of three pitchers ever to throw 14 or more strikeouts in the first four starts of the season, which was done by Garrett Cole in 2019. And some other dude who I don't know. I forget who it was. But yeah.
Poor guy.
I know. I felt horrible. Because at the Astros, Garrett Cole did it in 2019. And I have no clue who else did it. Maybe like Pedro Martinez or somebody. I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah. He's you know, interesting fact. His one run given this season, it was a solo shot to Jazz. Of the Miami.
Oh, yeah.
Jazz Chisel.
My
fantasy team.
I told you guys. He's legit.
He's really good.
But that was the same argument you made last time, was that one home run. Anyway.
Well, he's the only person to get a run off of Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah. And Byron Buxton is the only person to get a run off of Corbin Burnes. So watch those two guys. Remember the name, DeGrom and Corbin Burnes. Duke it out for the Cy Young Award this year. I don't know. Who knows? I'm guessing Kershaw, Bauer, maybe one of those guys will hop in there with them eventually. But yeah, I mean, those guys are just on the next level.
For sure.
Last but not least, Fernando Tatis absolutely raked this weekend. He had two home runs in two consecutive games. In the middle games of the series.
Five home runs in the whole series.
Yeah, and they hit another one last night. So then he also did one of those days that he did it, that he did that the same day, 22 years later, after his dad hit two grand slams in one game at Dodger Stadium. He's the only player to ever do that, I believe, in one inning.
Yeah.
It runs in the family.
It does indeed. Yeah. And that will be all for us today.
Yeah, thank you for listening. Be sure to tune in every week and listen to us wherever you find your podcasts. Follow us on our social media. We have Twitter. We have Instagram. We have MySpace.
Facebook.
Am I forgetting one? Facebook. Yes. And, yeah. So, yeah. Barry.
Sign it. Yeah, thank you for listening. This is Fried Chicken Dingers signing off.
See ya.
See ya.
See ya.
See ya.